Shalom and welcome to Sem Torah for Shmini Atzeret. The Gemara at the top of Daf Memchet Amar Aleph in Masechet Sukkah Memchet Amar Aleph, tells us that, and in many other places it's quoted as well, tells us that there are six ways in which Shmini Atzeret is a different Chag than Sukkot. On Pesach, we talk about the first day of Pesach and the last day of Pesach. Or if you're in Chutz La'aretz, we talk about the first days of Pesach and the last days of Pesach. We do use that expression by Sukkot, but we really should not. Because there's really no such thing as the last day of Sukkot. I mean, I suppose the last day of Sukkot is Hoshana Rabbah. The eighth day of Sukkot is not Sukkot at all. It's Shmini Atzeret. And the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah, Memchen Amar Aleph, tells us that that is so in six ways. And the six ways are summarized by an acronym. The acronym is known as Pazar Kashav. Pazar Kashav, Pei Zayin Reish, Kuf Shin Bet. Pazar Kashav. There are six ways in which Shmini Atzeret is its own Chag. The Gemara calls it a regel bifnei atzmo. And what are the six? So the Gemara says, number one, pei, pazar kashav, pais bifnei atzmo. In the Beit HaMikdash, there were regularly these lotteries that were done to see which Kohanim would get various jobs. And when Shmini Atzeret came along, there had to be a new pais, a new lottery to see which Kohanim would do certain avodot in the Beit HaMikdash, and they wouldn't rely on previous lotteries. Zayin stands for Zman. We say Shechianu. Shechianu v'kiyamanu v'igiyanu lazman hazeh. It's a brand new chag. We have to say Shmini Atzeret. Reish is regel bifnei atzmo, and with your permission, I'm going to return to that in a few moments. Kuf is for the word korban. Pazar kashav kuf is korban. There's a special korban that is brought on Sukkot, as Rashi says, she'eino keseder parei hachag. It's not the same system and organization that we had up until now, like we had for Sukkot. It's a brand new korban. Shin stands for Shira, the Shirat Halvi'im, and Bet in Pazar Kashav, the last letter, stands for Bracha, Bracha Bifnei Atzmo. It was a certain kind of bracha that we used to give to a king in those days, a unique bracha that we gave to a king. Pazar Kashav. The one that I skipped over quickly was the Reish. And Rashi, in explaining what regel bifnei atzmo means, tells us the following very enigmatic expression. Rashi says three words: she'ein yoshvin basuka. The thing that makes Shmini Atzeret unique, the thing that makes the thing that makes it unique is that we don't sit in the sukkah. And that's a very strange thing. The other five differences between Shmini Atzeret and the rest of Sukkot, I understand. It's a very unique, it's a very stark contrast between what we had over Sukkot and what we have now on Shmini Atzeret. But regel bifnei atzmo, Rashi says, she'ein yoshvin basukah. It seems very strange. I've never heard of a chag where we, the day after Pesach, where we don't eat matzah. Or the day after Megillah, I know Megillah is not Min HaTorah. Well, the day after Purim, we don't read the Megillah. The day after Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow the shofar. There's no such thing. And all of a sudden, by Sukkot, we have this question, this unique distinction between Shmini Atzeret and that we don't eat in the sukkah. Very nice. What is that supposed to mean? Putting that question aside, there is another fundamental question that comes from a Gemara earlier in Masechet Sukkah, and that's Daf Yud Aleph Amud Bet. The Torah tells us in Parashat Emor, in Perek Chav Gimel, that the reason why we sit in the Sukkah is because Lama'an Yedu Doroteichem Ki Vasukoto Shavti Et Bnei Yisrael Behotzi'i Otam Me'eretz Mitzrayim Ani Hashem Elokeichem. You've got to sit in the Sukkah so that you know that it was Hashem who placed us and enabled us to dwell in these booths, in these Sukkot, when we left Mitzrayim. The Gemara in Masechet Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph Mabet brings a braita based on that pasuk. It's a machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. What does it mean, ki basukot hoshavti et b'nei Yisrael? Says Rabbi Eliezer, ananei kavod hayu. These were these, I guess in English it's called the clouds of glory. These are the clouds that surrounded us from enemies, surrounded us from nature, incredibly miraculous. And that's a beautiful chag that we celebrate for 7 days, eating in the sukkah, sleeping in the sukkah, schmoozing in the sukkah, checking our emails in the sukkah, whatever we're doing in the sukkah, to remind ourselves of Ananei HaKavod. Beautiful. But Rabbi Akiva has a different opinion. Rabbi Akiva, in that same Gemara Yud Aleph Mabet, says, no, it's not Ananei HaKavod that we're celebrating. It is Sukkot Mamash Asu Lahem. According to Rabbi Akiva, Ki basukot hoshavti et b'nei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us sukkahs. He gave us wood, he gave us schach, he gave us, I don't know what else, maybe air conditioning, maybe I don't know what else we have in our sukkahs. That's a very interesting pshat, but it's a very strange chag to celebrate according to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, what am I celebrating? I'm celebrating that I had a hut for 40 years in the desert? What's that? What is that celebration? That's a second question. We have two questions seemingly unrelated. Question number one, according to Rashi, one of the ways that Shmini Atzeret is its own chag is that we don't eat in the sukkah. And it doesn't make sense. It seems to not make sense. The second question is based on Rabbi Akiva. Why do I have a chag sitting in a regular sukkah celebrating a regular sukkah? 3,500 years ago when I left Mitzrayim. I understand Rabbi Eliezer, Ananei HaKavod. But what is Rabbi Akiva trying to say? And Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin says a beautiful pshat on the first question, which I think really relates to this whole idea. We live in our homes all year round. And it is possible that we will forget that even though I live in a very nice home with very solid walls and a very solid roof, and even though I've got a bank account with money in the bank, and even though I've got a refrigerator with food, and I've got a cabinet with food, and a closet with clothing, and I've got a health insurance, and life insurance, and car insurance, and theft insurance, and fire insurance, all that, the bottom line really is that I sleep in a sukkah all year round. The bottom line really is that I live in a sukkah all year round. The bottom line is that I work in a sukkah all year round. What are you talking about, a sukkah? I thought you said I have solid walls. I thought you said I have a solid ceiling. I thought you said I have a solid floor. I have a health insurance, life insurance. I've got all this stuff. The answer is, of course you do. But really, everything you have, as solid as it seems, is as flimsy as a temporary sukkah. That's all it is. And I live at the whim, so to speak, excuse the expression, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll say better, the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The koach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all. And there's nothing that I have, and nothing that I do, and nothing that I preserve, and nothing that I save, and nothing that I plan for, and nothing that I work for, without the desire of God, and without the protection of God. It's easy to forget. It's especially easy to forget when I'm working in the field all year and I plant and I harvest and I collect and I've got a silo full of grain and a silo full of fruit and I sit back and it's easy for me to say, look at me, look what I did, I'm set. I'm set for the season. And the answer is no, you're not. Go out, sleep in the sukkah, and remind yourself what it's like to be exposed to the elements, exposed to whoever is out there, whatever animals are out there. Sure, if it's too much, I mean, it's dire putz, I mean, a sukkah, I'm not talking about that. But remind yourselves, I had the zechut this chag, and for many, many years so far, to sleep in the sukkah the entire chag with my children, and it's a beautiful experience, it's a besimcha experience, no question about it. But when you're falling asleep and you're looking up at the stars, you're not supposed to see the stars when you're going to sleep. and you're next to the wall and pretty flimsy, whether it's wood or whether it's canvas or plastic, whatever it's made of, you're not supposed to do that with a wall that you're sleeping next to. You say, you know what? It really drives home the idea that I am completely at the whim and under the protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a very important and very sobering message to drive home when you're eating, when you're sleeping, when you're schmoozing, completely at the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rashi, as Rav Zevin understands, that is the message of Shmini Atzeret. The Chag of Rabbi Akiva, I fully understand now. They are in fact one and the same. The Anane HaKavod and the Sukkot Mamash are exactly the same thing. Whether it's a miracle or not, it's all from God. And I've experienced that for 7 days. Eating, sleeping, schmoozing, whatever I do in the sukkah. And now you know what my job is? My job is to take that and bring it back into the house. And now, when Shmini Atzeret comes, and I sit inside my home, and I sleep inside my home, and I learn Torah inside my home, and I schmooze inside my home, I have to remember that I'm not even home. I'm in a sukkah. That's really what I am, all year round. Sukkot, as opposed to Pesach, is a long-term experience and educational process. Pesach is a flash. It's a miracle. God always looks over me. God always intervenes. God always takes care of me. But I saw it very clearly on Pesach. Boom, a flash. Midday, 15th of Nisan, I walked out. But it's so hard to swallow, so hard to fathom, that I even have to say the Manishtana, what's going on here? Why is everything so different? Well, guess what? There is no Manishtana for Sukkot. Sukkot is something that I experienced, that I'm supposed to experience and want to experience and learn and internalize the day before Sukkot, the day after Sukkot, the week after Sukkot, the month after Sukkot, my entire life. I have to remember that really, I believe that I live in a sukkah, so to speak, all year round. To conclude, that is the way Rav Hirsch understands the reason for me, for us, saying the Haftorah on Shabbat Chol HaMoed about the war between Gog and Magog. The war between Gog and Magog is that final war, that cataclysmic, eschatological conflict. Between whom? Between the roof people and the sukkah people. There are some people who are roof people. Gog, Gag, from the word roof, Gag, Gog, Magog, who teach others, says Rav Hirsch, that I'm basically fine. I'm basically taking care of myself. No big deal. God can't control me. God can't stop me. God can't do anything to me. I'm pretty much buffered. There are people who feel that way. There are people who live their life that way. There are people who teach that way. But we say Chas V'Shalom. We are Sukkah people. We are B'nai Yisrael. Yaakov was the one who went Sukkota. Yaakov was the one who has Sukkot. Yaakov, and we are B'nai Yaakov, B'nai Yisrael. And we say, no. Yes, I live in a house that looks like a house. And yes, I have a bank account. Looks like a bank account. And yes, I have food in my refrigerator and clothes in my closet. That's what it looks like. But it's really a Sukkah. May we be zoche on Shmini Atzeret, and the day after, and the day after, and the day after, for 120 years, to recognize and to realize and to internalize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us, and may He place and spread Sukkot Shalem on us and on all of Klal Yisrael. Have a Chag Sameach, everybody.